Hi, my name is Richard Harsono. I am 18 years old. Today is February 11th, 2019, and I am interviewing Donna Deal. And our interview is taking place in Sebastopol, California. So, Mrs. Deal, when and where were you born?
Petaluma, California, 1936.
All right. What was your childhood like?
Ideal. I was very, very fortunate. We never had a lot of material things, but abundant love. And, Sonoma County is such a beautiful place to grow up and live. So, very blessed.
Did you have any siblings?
I had three, an older brother, two younger sisters, much younger. So I was, still am, more like a mother to them than a sister.
What did your parents do?
My father worked for the co-op hatchery. He was in poultry husbandry all his life, and he was an assistant manager during the time. A book written about his career is called Comrades and Chicken Ranchers by Kenneth Kahn, who teaches at UC. Very interesting. Yeah.
Right.
And my mother was an elementary teacher, just like me.
Nice. Did your mother influence you to become a teacher?
Both parents. Actually, at that point in time, it was one of the only careers open to women.
I see. Are you currently working right now?
I have been retired from teaching 15 years. I worked a few other things when I retired. But
did you do anything before you were a teacher?
That's a tricky one, because I did one summer. Actually, I signed a contract. I had taught, and I was taking a job in Sacramento, and my roommate and I both loved to water ski, and we had both broken engagements in our hometown, so we said, let's get out of town and go to Tahoe and get a job so we can water ski all summer. Well, the only job available to us turned out to be blackjack dealers, and that I never put that on my resume applying for a teaching job. But it was an interesting, and I met my husband from Iowa, was also working a summer job at Tahoe that summer. It worked out very well for me.
I see. Did you enjoy being a teacher?
Yes, especially my last 15 years in fifth grade. I had taught preschool through adults, and when I taught teachers, actually a special reading program, I had a special reading credential, and I taught teachers, and I learned that I had great patience with children acting like children, and zero patience when adults acted like children.
Yeah.
So I found my level at fifth grade. I loved 10-year-olds.
I see.
My last 15 years, I loved it.
Was there anything you didn't enjoy about being a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't enjoy administrators who thought they knew more than I did about my class. And I became very independent in my later years. It didn't matter what they told me to do. I did what I thought my students needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Could you tell me about how you and your husband met?
Yes, that summer, I had a beautiful roommate, and we were both dealing, and this guy came to her table and invited her to coffee on our break, and she said we were there because we wanted to water ski, but we hadn't had an opportunity yet, and he said, oh, come out to Glenbrook, where he and my husband were both working with Bellhop, a very exclusive resort, and she said she wouldn't go without her roommate, so I went, and we met, and we're married 50 years.
Right.
We met in June, married in December. Oh, it'll never last, people said, because we don't know each other well enough. Well, it lasted 50 years till he died.
May I ask if you guys had, like, any of your best memories together? Like, which one was that?
Oh, so many wonderful memories. Probably all the years as both teachers. He taught at Amley many years and was varsity basketball coach, but we had summers off. And we got a tent trailer and we took our four kids camping all over the West. Such happy memories.
Do you have any hobbies now or before that you would like to share?
First of all, reading. I love to read. Walking, gardening. Those are my main, how I spend my time.
I see. May I ask what got you into gardening?
Growing up on a big property we had in Petaluma, and my father was an avid gardener, so I started learning through him. And then when we bought our home south of town, almost an acre, my husband and I both loved gardening together.
Cool.
And I believe everyone should be able to grow their own vegetables, so I got into vegetable gardening. Now I'm in the Master Gardener of Sonoma County program, teaching other people to grow their own food.
Wow. What's that like, teaching others how to garden?
Well, I love the Master Gardener program. We have a book club, too, that just met yesterday, and the book was The Soil Will Save Us, and soil science just fascinates me now, and how we can sequester carbon in the soil. Responsible farmers, gardeners, we've learned that tilling the soil releases all the stored carbon from the soil into the atmosphere. So no-till gardening and just building up the soil with compost. So if we can get big ag to ever get rid of their big combines that are churning the soil all the time, releasing all that carbon, there's a chance.
I see.
The soil will save it.
I see. On the topic of gardening, do you have anything against GMOs? Do you have anything against GMOs?
I'm very passionately against GMOs. Very, very, extremely passionate. You put me on my soapbox, and I'll take an hour. One of the books we read several years ago was called The World According to Monsanto. And in it, I learned a lot about how they are controlling, not just theirs. They want to control the world food supply. And they're on their way, unfortunately. Our State Department is selling this to developing countries all over the globe. And it's wrong, wrong, wrong.
I see. Has your life been different than how you imagined it when you were younger?
Well, when I was young, I always wanted to be a mom and have a family, and I never dreamed of the technology revolution we're having now. This is just a whole new world.
Yeah.
Just listening to the guy who wrote the book on how, well, the evils of Facebook and social networking is a very interesting story. I don't know where it's going. I'm glad I raised my kids before we had this. Well,
may I ask what your children do right now?
Oldest son is an electrical engineer with Applied Materials. He travels the globe as marketing director in emerging technologies. Second, I just got a picture of him in Switzerland at the top of the Alps. One of his customers is in Zurich. Second son teaches Japanese at Foothill High School in Pleasanton. Third son is in State Department now at the embassy to the world's smallest country, which is the Vatican. So he's the public affairs officer for State Department at the Vatican, having a really rough time. Difficult situation there.
I bet.
And youngest is a daughter who is a dental hygienist in San Diego.
Right. Did you ever pressure your children into becoming what they are today?
I never dreamed I would do such a thing. Oldest son says he only became an engineer because I told him. I don't remember doing that. I think he took something I said to heart.
Yeah.
And anyway. No, I think everyone needs to follow their own path.
Absolutely.
But, no.
Are there any lessons that you've learned or advice you'd like to give to younger generations?
That's a big one. That's a big one. Yeah. Follow your heart.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And take time to be. Just to be.
Yeah.
At this moment, now.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big fan of traveling the world?
Very much so. I have. I've been blessed to be able to. I've been to Japan 25 times. I've been to Europe. 10 times?
Nice.
I don't know. Yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any things that you've experienced in other countries that you wish were implemented
in
the U.S.?
A whole lot. I was an exchange student to Finland through American Field Service when I was in high school, and I loved it and always wanted to go back. So last summer I went back after 64 years.
Wow.
I finally went back. Took my 16-year-old Japanese American granddaughter with me. It was wonderful. But when I see how their kind of democratic socialism works, why can't we do that? They, yes, they pay high taxes, but
mm-hmm.
they have free education, preschool through college. Everybody in the country is highly educated. They have free health care, excellent health care for everyone. I could go on. Yeah, I think there are better ways than what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like we could do it eventually in the U.S.?
You know, it's much easier for them because they're such a monocultural society, and our pluralistic society is it's more difficult, but with the right leadership, we could do a lot better than we're doing.
I see. If it's all right, may I ask you about your thoughts on our leadership today?
You sure?
It's up to you.
I pray we can change very quickly.
I see.
I think we're going in the wrong direction in every aspect of the current clown that is leading us. On the environment, on immigration, on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I see.
That's summing it up very briefly.
Gotcha. I won't delve too deep into it then. If you could go back in time, would there be anything you change or want to experience again?
Well, I certainly changed the 2016 election.
I see.
That's recent memory. I don't know. I want to go there. My youngest son in the State Department has been, we had a wonderful home south of town where we raised our four kids, and when they all left this hick town to go explore the world and my husband died, people told me, first thing you have to do is get rid of that big old house. Well, I didn't. I thought, well, if I'm going to sell it, I have to fix it up. So I put a lot of money into it. But it needed more and more money. And the well was going dry. Thank you, Greedy Vineyards. And the redwoods my husband had planted, their roots were growing in. It just needed so much work.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find the help for the maintenance, so I decided to sell last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that home, people in foreign service with our State Department are required to spend a month in the U.S. every 2 years. And my youngest son's little family stayed with me, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize how hard it was for them to have me sell that place, but he has not forgiven.
Oh.
He and his wife said they wanted to buy it. I didn't think it would be fair for them to try to manage all the inherent problems on that property while they were in Rome for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and sold it. And he has not forgiven me. I just wrote a book to him this morning. I don't know how. I said, probably the biggest, I made a lot of mistakes. That's probably the biggest I ever made, the way I handled that. But here we are. I hope we can move on. But right now, he's not communicating with any of his siblings because they didn't support he and his wife wanting to buy it. And this was the original source of the problem. When I decided to sell that summer, I sent a text message to all four of my kids saying, it is time. I can't handle all this maintenance by myself anymore. And we had 60 text messages, me and my four kids. I had started it using the number he had in Japan. He was in the process of leaving and had changed his number.
Oh.
So he never read one of those 60 text messages. And it's just very unfortunate. Text messaging is not a good way to communicate anything with any emotional context.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope this isn't getting too personal, but if you could go back in time, would you still, like knowing what happened, would you have still sold the house or would you have kept it?
I would have done it a lot differently.
I see.
I would have taken more time. For me, I sold it in October and escrow closed right after the fires broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 5,300 families, neighbors, practically, who lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a picture or a pair of shoes to their name.
Yeah.
They had fled with flames chasing them in their nightclothes. So I felt fortunate. At least I had artifacts.
Absolutely.
From my home. So I thought, well, that was good. And the buyers were able to rent the house because they had another home. They were able to rent it to their friends who had lost their home. I felt really good about that. And I left a lot of dishes, pots and pans, silverware for them to use.
Yeah.
They had absolutely nothing. So I felt good about that. The kid in Rome doesn't get that at all.
I see.
So what was the question?
Oh, I was just
would I do it differently, or would I do it? I don't know. I just told him this morning it's probably the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. So I would do it differently, for
absolutely.
Sure.
I see.
Yeah.
So kind of going into your family history, may I ask like where your ancestors are from?
Okay. Well, that's why I've been featured in a couple of actually books, because my maternal grandmother, great-grandmother, was a survivor of the Donner Party. And the Donner Party history is still a sensational story in the history of California.
I see. So was that relative of yours who survived the Donner Party, was that from your mother's side?
Yes, my mother's grandmother.
I see.
So my great-grandmother. Mm-hmm.
May I ask about your father?
My father was... his grandfather was from Germany and his mother from Ireland.
I see.
Yeah. She was, interesting story, she was in San Francisco. Her family had come to San Francisco like many Irish did, living in the Mission District.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather had left his home in Kansas. His father was a doctor and people were paying him with chickens.
Oh.
So he had 5 younger brothers and sisters. They were not making ends meet. As the elder, he felt he needed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have his mouth to feed too. And he took a train to California and he joined the Merchant Marine. But in San Francisco, he went to an Irish pub and met this young woman who was doing the Irish jig, playing her mandolin, and he fell in love with her. But then he had to board a boat headed to Hawaii. When he got to Hawaii, he heard about the devastating earthquake. This was April 1906.
Mm.
And he just said, oh, my poor Lily, my dear Lily, is she okay? So he couldn't wait to get back to San Francisco. She was okay. And they had a long, happy life, and that's Sebastopol.
I see. Nice. So are you residing in Sebastopol right now?
60 years now.
I see. So all of your family has been around Sebastopol for a while?
My mother and father both went to Anhui, and all their brothers and sisters. But, my kids chose to go see the world.
Oh, I see. So they didn't attend Anhui?
They attended Anhui,
oh.
But as soon as they graduated, it was get me out of the tip town. I brought the youngest one here a few years ago, and he's looking around at this and said, and since I introduced him to, he said, when did this hip town become such a hip town?
I see. Are you ever sad that your children decided to leave Sonoma County?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very. Yeah, if they had stayed, I could have kept the house.
Oh.
In fact, I offered to sell it to any one of them for a dollar. We had added an apartment for my mother-in-law if my father-in-law died. I said, if any of you would come live here, I could live in the apartment and be happy ever after.
I see.
What?
I see.
Their jobs wouldn't allow them, their careers wouldn't allow them to carry on in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Mm. Since your family seems to be, I guess your children seem to be all over the world, basically, are you very close with your grandchildren?
I have 9, and yes, very, very, very. They're what keep me going, actually. Yeah. My 16-year-old Japanese-American granddaughter is actually coming, bringing 2 of her friends to stay with me during their spring break from March 19th to April 3rd. I'm going to have 3 Japanese teenage girls, and I'm overwhelmed.
I see.
Not sure what I'm going to do with them.
Do you believe?
I want them to visit Emory High School.
I got you. Do you believe that there's going to be a culture shock that they'll experience?
Well, no. My granddaughter has been many times.
Oh, I see.
And she went to Finland with me, too, last summer.
I see.
But one of the girls, the one I was expecting, her father is British, and they go to England every year, so she has excellent English, I'm told. I don't know yet who the third or why the third. That's what's thrown me for a loop.
I see.
I don't know.
If you had said yes, do you believe that social media has allowed newer generations to experience different cultures vicariously?
Indeed. That's the benefit.
Okay.
Yes, we do. And this grandma, it allows me to keep in touch with my kids.
Absolutely.
I get videos and pictures from all over the world of grandchildren and families and birthdays.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Good. Is there anything you'd change about newer generations today?
My generation?
Like newer generations.
Oh,
like
newer
mine.
Generations.
Yeah.
Well, I just admire you so much growing up in this fast-changing time and the way young people are handling it. It's very admirable, I think. Sometimes I wish they weren't looking at their cell phones and making more eye contact with each other.
Absolutely.
And with the adults in their lives, because I see them preferring this gadget to human contact, and I don't think that's healthy in the long run.
Yeah, I see. Kind of going off what you thought I said, is there anything you change about your generation today?
Yeah, I wish we had liberated girls and women.
Absolutely.
Much more. Like I wasn't even allowed to take advanced math because girls don't need that. And I love math. And it would have helped me when I was beginning. I got computers into the school I was at here, and we wanted to teach programming, so I took a class in programming. And all the young people had advanced algebra, so it was a breeze. Because I didn't get that, it was... I didn't get it.
I see. Do you believe we've done enough today in order to, I guess, deal with how women have been treated today and in the past?
I love the fact that we're now making advances and actually giving women some of the credit they deserve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm happy to see this past election with all the women and women of color in Congress, right? And the candidates running for president. Oh, may one of them win.
Yeah, definitely. But do you think there should be more that we should do in order to address this?
Yeah, there's still a lot of inequality, particularly in pay for women, and there's very few in business, like in CEOs, it's still predominantly men, as are a lot of government positions, too.
I see.
Predominantly WASP, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant males are still running the show for the most part.
Kind of going off of like inequality, do you believe that racism is still prevalent in our society today?
Unfortunately. I think Asians are, at least in California, I think most of the United States, Asians have been totally accepted and integrated, and because they're educated. What we've done to the African American black population is horrible. Also, our treatment of American Indians.
Compared to when you were growing up and today, do you think we have moved in the right direction, or
we're making steps, but so much more needs to be done to really have equality. Yeah, I started dreaming when I was probably in my teen years and meeting people from around the world that someday we would have so much interracial, intercultural marriage that everybody'd be a beautiful shade of tan and racism would be a thing of the past. I still think someday that may happen because there's more and more interracial, intercultural marriages going on.
Definitely. Was there anyone in your life who, I guess, played a big role on like influencing who you are now?
Stephen Galati, who was the one of the founders of American Field Service and American Field Service International Scholarships, which took me to Finland, was just in its infancy. But it was a group of World War I ambulance drivers who came home from the horrible, horrible gore of picking up the dead and the wounded in World War I and said, what can we do to stop this carnage of world wars? And they agreed, and the motto that they gave me, that has stuck with me, is walk together, talk together, O ye peoples of the earth, for then and only then shall ye have peace. And that's been my... And he looked me in the eye. I met him in this... It was in its infancy. I met him in this little basement down these dark stairs. He's sitting at a little card table with a lamp hanging down. And during the interview with me, he looked me in the eye and said, you will be an ambassador of goodwill.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, I'll try. So we hosted exchange students from all over the world all the time we were in that big home. And I still do.
Oh, I see. May I ask what that experience has been like to take in other kids from around the world?
I love doing it. I absolutely love. And that's our Sister City program is what I'm involved in now. Our world friends, Sister City. So I've had many, many students from Japan and adults too. Sometimes the adult chaperones have stayed with me. And also from Ukraine, which is a very whole other book could be written about what's going on in the Ukraine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to come for our friendship dinner in November, and many of them had been in our home. Are we running out?
Just a little. But it's okay. Continue.
Okay. So many of them had been here before and stayed in our home. They were denied visas this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I see.
But that's part of the Trump-Putin brotherhood.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind me asking, so how does that work? Like, so you said that their visas were denied this year. So does everyone need one in order to, I guess, stay with you and, like, explore?
No, just certain countries require visas to come here.
I see.
And we need visas to go to certain countries, too.
Yeah.
When I went to Finland, I had to have a visa. And I don't know which ones now. I think I needed one to go to Vietnam when my son was there. I'm not sure how they determine which countries need a visa and which you can just go with a passport.
Gotcha.
Depends on our government relations.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So you are wearing a Shibuya sweatshirt. Have you been there?
I have not. Unfortunately, it was actually funny because I knew that you asked me to bring your granddaughter around.
Uh-huh.
But no, this jacket was just one that I bought, and it conveniently...
it'll be perfect. They'll love it.
Yeah.
But where do you find a Shibuya?
It was just at an H&M that I found. So, I mean, it wasn't really, like, anywhere, like, specifically, like, Japanese-themed. I think it was just more for, you know...
Was it online?
No, I went to the store.
Where?
H&M. It's all right, but yeah, no.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right, Doctor. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else can I think of? Do you have any memories that, like, have really stuck with you, that maybe, like, taught you something, or that you just enjoyed?
Hundreds and hundreds. They're just fun. Yeah. I say I had a very blessed life. Certainly meeting my husband was one of my favorites. The birth of all four children were also, and all nine grandchildren, very, very happy, happy memories. And all our summers camping, too. I love being outdoors. And very good memories.
Cool. Unfortunately, this comes to the end of our interview. I would just like to thank Mrs. Deal for being here.
My pleasure, all
thank
the way.
You.
It's been a joy.
Good. And I hope that others will listen to this and hopefully learn something. And if not, I hope they just enjoy our interview.
Okay.
Thank you.
Me too. Yes.